Praise the Lord for it. Joshua chapter 4 this morning, the book of Joshua chapter 4. I'll be honest with you, the message I'm preaching this morning is one that I'm preaching not only for this morning, but for the future as well. As a matter of fact, where this church is in a decade or 25 years from now, God tearing is coming, the Lord tearing is coming, a lot of it will depend on what we do with a message like I preached this morning. May I say to us that the next generation is in trouble. I'm talking about our children, grandchildren in some cases, great-grandchildren. And if we do not reach the next generation, our churches will dwindle down to just about nothing. And this morning I'm preaching a message that I just cannot get away from. I like it when the Lord grabs my heart and says, don't shake or deviate from that message right there. And that's what He's done for this morning. Joshua chapter 4, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take ye 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. Ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night, verse 6. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? And ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. In other words, God is telling the nation of Israel, after He's dried up the Jordan River here, the priests are standing right there on dry ground, if you will. And God gives them a command. He said, I want you to take 12 stones. Every tribe, grab a stone. It's big enough stone to put it on your shoulder, so it's large stones. Grab a large stone, every tribe, carrying it out of the midst of Jordan. And when you get to the promised land, I want you to make an altar. I want you to use those stones and build something. And here's what I want you to build. Verse number 7. It's my title, my message. I want you to make a memorial unto the children. I want you to build something that God has done in your life to tell your children how good God's been to you. And this morning I want to preach to you on this subject, a memorial unto the children. I have 4 points, but really the first 3 are part of my introduction. Are you with me? I'm headed towards point number 4, so just stay with me now. It's going to take me a little while to get there. We'll get there by about 3 o'clock this afternoon, all right? I'm in a joking mood today, okay? That's what vacation does to me. I just come back happy, okay? But anyway, let's pray together. Father, would you bless this time, please? Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. If we were to travel to the state of South Dakota, we would come and build a memorial known as Mount Rushmore, with 4 faces carved in the stone, the faces of Thomas Jefferson, Theodore Roosevelt, Abraham Lincoln, and George Washington. That memorial stands as a shrine of democracy, a monument and a memorial to this country's birth, growth, and ideas. If we were to travel from there to Washington, D.C., we would come upon the Vietnam War Memorial. This memorial is for those who have died and for us to remember them. From there, if we were to travel to New York Harbor, we would see the Statue of Liberty. Over the years, the Statue of Liberty has grown to include a memorial for freedom and democracy, as well as this international friendship that we strive to have. As we can see, and these are just a handful, but memorials can be good things, they can be great things. But I submit to you the greatest memorial that we can ever build is a memorial unto the children. I'm talking about a memorial that teaches them about our great God and all He has done for us. If we stop here and just think for a moment, we who have been saved for quite a while, or even if you've just been saved a few weeks, I'm talking about if you have any age on you whatsoever, you can look back in your life and just trace the good hand of God through your history. Think about it. Just think about the goodness of God in your past. And I mean, all the Jordan rivers He's dried up for you. And the experience at the Red Sea, that's a picture of salvation. And how He saved your soul. And He's changed your life. And He's met your needs. He's put clothes on your back. He's put food on your table. God's been good to us, friends. And our children need to hear it from us. We need to be busy about establishing a memorial for the children. These stone memorials were to be erected to commemorate an important thing that took place. God's miraculous deliverance for the nation of Israel. See, God didn't just deliver them for them. He delivered them for their children and for their grandchildren. Understand that God's always progressing. He's always going forward. And it doesn't just stop with us. See, he wants us to be interested in our future. He wants us to think about our children. And one of the greatest things we can do for our children and grandchildren, even if you don't have any children, I'm talking about right now, just think with me, people that you influence, but especially if you have children. God wants the parents and grandparents to spend our lives building memorials to get our children's attention and to show them that the God who's in our life is the God that needs to be in theirs as well. Now, there are four things I want you to notice with me about this memorial, but I submit to you, my first three are still just kind of introducing this to you. My sermon really comes out in point four. Here's number one. The first thing we notice in verses 1-3, I will not dwell long here, is we notice the mandate for this memorial. If you'll notice in verses 1-3, I've already read that, but if you read that again, it's interesting to note that God commanded the children of Israel to establish this memorial. He didn't ask them to do it. He told them to do it. You can look at it right there. He even says in verse 3, command ye them. Command them to do this. Let me simply say this. This is all introduction now, but let me just say this to you, that this memorial for the children is not a choice we make. No. It's a command we obey. Did you hear what I said? It's not a choice that you make. It's to be a command that you obey. If you are a mom and a dad or a grandma or a granddaddy, are you obeying this command? Are you building things? Are you setting up things that point your children to the Lord Jesus Christ? The mandate. Number two, the making. We see this in verses 2, 3, 4, 5, verse 8, verse 19, and 20. I've already read verses 2 and 3. Let's look at verse 4. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man a stone upon his shoulders. Look at that now, upon his shoulder. Look here, you don't take a pebble and put it on your shoulder, friends. These stones were large enough that they could not be held in their hand only. They had to be put up on their shoulder. They're large stones. According to the number of the tribe of the children of Israel, look at verse number 8. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes, the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Look at verse 19. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. Here's the point. I call it the making of this memorial. The memorial is not going to make itself. God was not going to make it. He was not going to have the angels make it. No. He said, I want you to make it. It's your children, your grandchildren, so it's your responsibility. Amen, friends? Stay with me here now. The Lord told him to take 12 stones and carry them on their shoulder. I've already said this, but this tells us these stones were not small, but rather large. Here's something I want you to think about when we think about the making of this memorial. I'd like to mention that the making of this memorial was going to be hard work. It was not going to be easy. It was going to take some sweat. It's going to take some work. It's going to take some toil. It's going to take some time. Carrying large rocks is not an easy job. But if we do not do it, are you listening? If we do not do it, we are not leaving anything for the next generation. The making of this memorial, the mandate, God commanded them to do it. The making is going to take hard work. It's going to take some men getting down and dirty. I mean, willing to get their hands dirty and working hard to get it done. We must be willing to work. Has set up a memorial unto the children to give them something to see for the glory of God. You cannot just sit back as a parent or as a grandparent and say, boy, I hope they get it. Boy, I hope they get it. Boy, I hope they get it. Hey, I'm praying basically every day of my life, dear God, get a hold of my children. Dear God, get a hold of my son. Dear God, get a hold of my girls. Dear God, help them to give their life to you. I'm praying that basically every day of my life. But God says this, I will answer your prayers, but you better work for it yourself, son. I used to preach a message entitled The Danger of Disobedience and how when parents disobey the Lord, it affects their children. And I'd get mad at the devil and I'd start saying, he's going to have to come through me. And the Lord calmed my heart and said, that's exactly what he's trying to do, Jody. He's trying to come through you. I asked you a question. How hard are you working at making sure your children see God for who he really is? How hard are you really working to make sure that the message that your children are getting about God is the message of who God really is? It's hard work, friends. That means some things are not going to be allowed in your home. Other things will be allowed in your home. Hey, it's hard work to say no to your children every now and then. Amen, friends. It's hard work to look at them and say, we're not going to do that around here. Some people say, I'm going to lose my kids if I say no to them. You've already lost them. Amen, you've already lost them. Because they need direction. And this takes hard work. It really does. This is the making of it. Number three, the motive of it. What's the motive? I submit to you that there's a twofold motive here. First of all, the motive, this is all introduction. Relax, my point four is not all that long. Okay, I told you 3 o'clock, so anything less than that is good, right? Let me give you a twofold motive here. In other words, why should you make this memorial? Why should you spend the time? Why should you work hard like this? Why should you build this memorial for the children? Why should you do it? Twofold. Number one, to probe the children's curiosity. This is found in verses 6 and 21. Notice this, that this may be a sign among you that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Verse 21. Speaking to the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in the time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Do you see what I mean here by probing their curiosity? Here's what God said. God said, if you do this, you're not going to have to say a word. They'll wonder what it's about. They'll begin to wonder, Daddy, what's that pile of rocks over there about anyway? You know what this tells me? God knows children are curious. Amen or not, they're curious. They like figuring things out. They're interested in so many things. And establishing a memorial like this would probe their curiosity. It would be... And God knew it. The children are so curious that they'd be like, Daddy, we keep going by that pile of rocks there. I've been wanting to ask you, what is that about? Look at me, please. In a world that probes our children's curiosity toward the devil, toward the world, toward wicked carnal things, You know I'm telling it to you straight this morning, don't you? We live in a world that absolutely just flashes its lights around for our children because the world also knows the children are curious. They want to look into things. They want to figure things out. Here's what building a memorial does. It's moms and dads saying, instead of saying, I can't believe they're curious about all those things. No, no, no. It capitalizes on their curiosity. And it says, let me, God, help me build something that gets them curious about you. Does that make any sense, what I just said? Don't lie to me now, friends. If it doesn't, I'm going to start all over again. Did that make sense to you? I thought you'd say yes now, right? Probe their curiosity. Talk about God. Give Him praise. You talk about your house and talk about how God's been good to you and your car and all this kind of, hey, some of them are paid off and all the, and look at them. I mean, some of them are running well. And you say, look at what God's done. What do you mean God did that, Daddy? I thought you worked hard for that money, Daddy. I thought you worked hard to get out of the bed and go to work and put food on the table. Yes, son, but understand that unless God is allowing my heart to pump, unless God gives me the ability, I can't earn money like that. It all comes down to God. Don't you see? You're probing their curiosity. I want to know more about this God. If my daddy is so infatuated with Him, maybe I need to be infatuated with Him. This is probing their curiosity. But not only that, the second motive is to point them to Christ. We see this in verses 23 and 24. Notice the language here. It says in verse number 23, it says, for the Lord, he says this. He said, whenever you tell your children, when they ask you, what do these stones mean? He's telling them what to say. Look at verse number 23. Verse 22, then ye shall let your children know, saying, he's telling them, here's what you tell them. Look at verse 23. For the Lord your God. Do you see it? They didn't say my God. Who are they talking to? Who? Their children. And he said, I want you daddies to tell them, the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you till you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up right here before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord and it's mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. Here's the point, friends. These verses bring out the fact of how the parents point their children to God by giving Him all the praise. He's identifying Himself as their God. I am your God. But yet He tells them, your God did this for your children as well. Stay with me now. Verse 23 says, the Lord your God. Verse 23 again says, the Lord your God. Verse 24 says, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. The parents, get this. He wanted the parents to make sure their children knew their God. God wants their children to go from knowing about Him to knowing Him as their God. Do you see the difference? But to get from He is God to He is my God, the parents are right in the middle. And the parents must build memorials to probe their children's curiosity so they can start talking about God and His goodness and His mercy. Start pointing them to God, that the God who did that for your daddy is the God who'll do the same for you. Wow! Do you see this? Stay with me. We see not only the mandate, we're commanded to do it. We see the making, it takes hard work. We see the motive, it's to probe their curiosity, to get them to ask questions about the right things in life. Amen. I mean, children are asking the wrong questions today. Well, why is it that people are coming out of the closet now, Daddy? Why is it that's called hate speech if you just preach the Bible today? It's time that we start building memorials to where their questions change to questions like this. Can you tell me, Daddy, again, how was it God did that for us? How was it that God delivered us when I thought that was you that did that? Do you follow me what I'm trying to do today, friends? I'm going to tell you something. If you're saved today, it may not have been your mom and dad, but somebody did what I'm preaching in your life. And if it was your mom and dad, you ought to praise God for it. Amen. Now, are you ready for the message? Say, I've been ready for a long time. In everything we say and do, we should be a road sign, pointing our children to God. It's one of the motives. Point them to Jesus. Away from you, to Him. Don't be like me, be like Him. Be like the Lord. Your daddy can fail, but God never will. Now, let me settle in. The fourth point I've got here, which is where I'm going to dwell here for a little while, is we notice its message. What was the message that God told these people? Now, I'm just tying myself down to this chapter, okay? I know the message can be multiple things throughout the Word of God. I get that. That there's all kinds of things that parents ought to be teaching their children found in the Word of God. You're with me, right? I'm tying myself down to Joshua chapter 4. That's it. Thus far, we've seen the memorial's mandate. We're commanded to do it. We see if it's making, it's going to take hard work. We see its motive. We need to probe their curiosity and point them to God. Now we turn our attention to the message. What message was to be given as a result of the children asking what these stones mean? Get this, friends. The reason to build the memorial is for the message God wants them to receive. Did you hear what I just said? It's hard work. It's commanded by God to do it. But God knows if you do it, it's going to get them curious, and it's going to give you an opportunity to set them down and talk to them about God. And there's three things He wants you to tell your children. Right here in this passage. Number one, letter A, if you're keeping notes with me, you tell them that God is able. Look at verse number 7. The Bible says in verse number 4, it says, excuse me, in chapter 4, verse 7, it says, then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Look at verse 22. Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over. So here's the point. I'd like to paint an illustration, okay? I want you to travel back in time with me. Just play along with me, okay? Into the living room. It's a modern-day living room, okay, friends? Just play with me here. Into the living room of an Israelite family, a daddy. He was one of the ones that carried one of the stones. The mom and daddy are sitting here. Junior's sitting right there. You see him? If you do, you got problems. But anyway, do you see him, right? He's sitting right here. They've already built the memorial. It's over here. See that little boy for the first time walk into his mom and daddy's living room, and there's mom and daddy. And he says, Mama, Daddy, I've been looking at those rocks over there. Can you tell me what that means? That's a wonderful time in a parent's life. See the daddy sit up in his chair and look at his wife and just smile and wink at her. Look down at his son. And the first thing God said you tell him is you tell him what I did when you came upon a difficult situation in life. You tell him what I did when you came to the Jordan River and it was overflowing its banks in the time of harvest. No incidentals in Scripture, friends. That means it was extreme. There was no way they were going to get beyond that river. No way. It was overflowing its banks. You see this little boy and hear that daddy clear his throat and begin to tell the child how they were traveling in the wilderness on their way to the promised land of God's blessing. He said, son, when we came to an obstacle, there was a bump in the road, an insurpassable river standing in the way. We just began to look around, see what in the world we're going to do. All of a sudden, God said, tell the priests to stick their feet in the river's brink. And when we did that, God parted the waters, and we got to see God step in and show us that He's able to do anything. Son, God stepped in and dried up the river to take us over. And I can see Him clearing His throat and saying, son, when you look at that memorial the next time there, I want you to understand one thing. There's not a problem that's too big for your God. He is able to help you in your time of need. See that mom and dad grab hands and begin to sing, He's able. He's able. I know He's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. I wonder today what obstacle standing in your way. Because this threefold message that I've just given you, the first point to here, this threefold message is not just good for our children. It's good. It's a good reminder for us too. There may be somebody walked in this auditorium today and said, in your mind, you think it's too big. It's over with. It's gone. It's finished. It's insurpassable. Hey, put it up against the Jordan River. Put it up against the Red Sea. If God can do that, He can take care of your problem. He said, tell your children that. Tell them God is able. See, little boy say, okay, Daddy, anything else? And I can see that, Daddy. Looking at his wife and saying, matter of fact, there is, son. Let me give you a second thing that God told me to tell you. Number two, verse 23. Look at it. He's telling them again what to tell them here. He said, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over. Notice this now. As the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which He dried up from before us until we were gone over. Now, God's telling them to do this. God said, when your children ask you, what do those stones mean? Here's what I want you to tell them. You remind them what I did at Jordan. You tell them I'm able to take care of them. But then you go back and you remind them that all I did at Jordan was the same thing I did for them at the Red Sea. You know what point two is? You got it, don't you? He's not only able, He's faithful. In other words, He said, you tell them that I did that to the Jordan River as I did to the Red Sea. See, the mom and dad look at each other with a smile on their face, turn to their little curious boy and say, son, these stones not only mean God is able to help you through life, but it also means He's always faithful. He's been with us from the beginning. That's what He's talking about. From the Red Sea. Even before, I've been with you then, I kept you 40 years, I'm with you now. He's saying, He saved us at the Red Sea, He led us through the wilderness, He helped us at Jordan, and He's here to stay. God is faithful to His children. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, the Lord is faithful. See the mom and dad grab their hands again together, tightly joined together, and begin to sing, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. I can see him looking and that mom and daddy as they're still holding hands here, and their little boy just staring at him, just with eyes as wide as saucers, saying, okay, God is able to help me through life. Okay, Daddy, I see that. Okay, Daddy, now you're telling me that He was with you in Egypt. He was with you at the Red Sea. He was with you in the wilderness. He's with you now. And what you telling me? He's saying, I'm going to tell you this, son. Here's the lesson. Sit up and listen to me, boy. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Glory to God, our children need to learn that. They need to learn it no matter where they're at. Whether they're in the safety of their home, or whether they're in Africa, or whether they're in Afghanistan, they need to know that their God will never leave them and never forsake them. If moms and dads don't tell them that, somebody else will tell them different. Somebody else will tell them different. I don't want the world teaching my children, do you? I don't want the devil teaching my children, because constantly the devil and the world and the flesh are trying to have a sit-down talk with my children. It's happening all the time. It's times moms and dads say, not in my house. We're going to teach our children this. God is able. Look what He did in our life. And if He did that for us, He can do that for you. And let me tell you this. He just did what He's always done. He's just faithful. Didn't stop there, though. See the little boy say, okay, Daddy, I got it. He's able. I'm telling you, He's faithful. I got it. Anything else? See that mom and dad look at each other and wink back and forth and say, yeah, there's one more. And that is this. Look at verse 24. He said that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord. He said, you tell your children. You tell them that I did this. And I'm faithful and I'm able. And I show my power because I want the world to know me. Then he goes on to say that it might that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. Here's the third point. Sun, sit up now. What's point number one? God is able. You got it. Anything too hard for God? No, no, sir. Nothing too hard for God. Amen, you got it. Great. What's point number two? God is faithful? Yes, you got it. What do you mean? Well, He did it to the Red Sea, and He's doing it to the Jordan River, and now we're here, but there was 40 years in between. God was with you the whole way. Yes, you got it, yes. Now let me tell you something. He did all this to let the world know, and He also wants you to fear Him. So here's the third point. God is interested. He's interested. He wants something. And He said, the first thing I want you to see here is that He's interested in the world knowing Him. He wants not only you to know Him, He wants the whole world to know Him. And the key to the world knowing Him is moms and dads telling their children about Him. And they get a hold of God. More appropriately, God gets a hold of them. And they take Him to a lost and dying world. He's interested in the world knowing Him. But then, isn't it so wonderful here to hear this dad and this mom say, but son, I want you to know something. Even though God is interested in the world knowing Him, He wants you to fear Him. You know what that tells me? He wants the moms and dads to tell their children that God is interested in them. God wants you. He wants you. As you look at this stone memorial, son, daughter, let it remind you that there's a God in heaven who loves you, cares about you, cares about the world. But I want you to know something. Even though He's concerned and loves the whole world, you're part of that world, and He wants to make it personally about you. He loves you. He cares about you. He wants you saved. He wants you in heaven. He wants you as His own. See that mom and dad, look at that little boy and say, He loves you, boy. He loves you. He cares about you. My God, who is so big that the Egyptians were no match for Him. My God, who is so big that the Red Sea was no match for Him. My God, so big that the giants were no match for Him. The Jordan River, no match for Him. The grave, no match for Him. All of it. My God. Is He a daddy with a tear coming down His face? Saying, son, my God loves you. He wants you. He wants your heart. He wants your allegiance. He wants your love. And see that mom and daddy with tears coming down their eyes saying, oh God, thank you for being interested in me. Thank you for being interested in our children. And see them look at that boy and say, son, lean on Him. Trust Him.
Love Him. Fear Him. Obey Him. This is the message of the memorial. God said, don't ever forget it. We need parents who will start building memorials unto their children that will probe their kids' curiosity about God, point them to Christ by showing them His ability, His faithfulness, and His interest. I wonder today, do you have a memorial unto the children in plain sight in your home? May I say this to us? I'm just about done. You're either building a memorial or you're tearing one down. Which one are you doing? It's quiet in here. That's good. Here's what I've noticed. I like it when people shout, if God's in it. But here's been my personal experience. I'm not sweeping this around because shouting can be genuine, be real. It really can be. And if you ever want to shout here, help yourself. I mean that. If God's in it. But in my own heart, I'm talking about me. When God shows up, I shut up. That's just me. It's not everybody. I sense in my heart today that God's speaking to some moms and dads. I think He's speaking to some grandmas and granddads. And why don't we say, God, thank You for what You've done for us. Amen. Thank You for what You've done for me. But oh God, don't let it stop with me. Help me use the rest of my God-given days and get down and take a rock and put it up on my shoulder. May there be moms and dads this week. Grandmas and granddaddies. Spiritually speaking, are walking around like this. And it's hard. It's hard work. And it hurts. But you realize that when you put that rock down, and you put that rock down, and you put that rock down, the whole time you're doing it because you know your children are worth it. Are they worth it? Yes or no? Then let's not let anything stop us from finishing the memorial unto the children. Every daddy ought to have something in your heart right now saying, yes. Yes, God, make me a man like that. Every mama ought to say, yes. Oh, God, help my husband and I to grab hands and build one for the glory of God. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Shall we? Father, would You bless it? Would You use it? Would You guide, lead, and direct, I pray? Please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder today, what is God saying to you? What is the Lord saying to you? As they begin to play through softly. Let me start with where the Lord would have me start, and that's always with salvation, God helping me to do that. There could be somebody here today that has never trusted Christ. You've come to this church service, but you have not asked Jesus to come into your heart to forgive your sin. You do not remember a time, or maybe you know there's never been a time when you by faith ask Him to come into your heart, forgive your sin, save you, change you, and you were dead serious about it. If you do not know for sure that heaven is your home, I will not come to your seat. I will not embarrass you. I will not call you out. I give you my word on that. But I do need to know how to pray. Is there one here today you say, Pastor Jody, would you pray for me?
if I died just like I am not 100% sure that I'm going to heaven. I am not 100% sure of that. If you're not 100% sure of that, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Anybody like that? I see that hand. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Somebody else, you say, pray for me. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise you that. I just want to pray for you. Anybody else? In just a moment, when we stand and the invitation is given, if you'll come, let us take a Bible, share the gospel with you. Lady with a lady, a man with a man. How about it, Mom? How about it, Dad? God speak to you today. Have you say, Pastor Jody, I'm a mom, I'm a dad. God spoke to me in this message. I needed this. It doesn't mean that you're doing something ungodly. It could mean that you're already building one. In other words, this could be a great thing that you're already building a memorial and God said you're on the right track. You keep going. Have you say, Pastor Jody, I'm a mom and I'm a dad. God spoke to me today. Would you be honest? Raise your hand. Be an honest person. So I'm a mom, I'm a dad. God spoke to me. Amen. How about grandparents? Would you raise your hand if God spoke to you today? Amen. Several of you. Let's all stand together, please. Shall we? Father, would you take it and use it? Guide, lead, and direct in this. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm glad Brother Gary to begin to sing. And if you're here and you need to be saved, you come. If God spoke to you today, you come. You want to bring your children to the altar, you come. Hey, that's a great way to start a memorial, is to bring your children to the altar. And so let's go pray. Let's go talk to God. As Brother Gary sings, you come now, would you please?
Have thine own way, Lord.
Come on, come talk
have
to God.
Have thine own way.
Give it to the Lord.
Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Hold me and make me after thy will.
God's been dealing with you. Just obey the Lord. Come, let us take a Bible, share the
gospel. Have thine own way, Lord.
Obey the Lord.
Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow.
Sing one more, Brother Gary. If nobody else comes, we'll be through.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power.
This way, we're getting ready to be dismissed in prayer. Remind the deacons of our deacon meeting tonight at 5:30. Be right in your place. It'll be good. If you're visiting with us, thank you for being here. God bless you. Please take your visitor's card if you filled one out, or even if you didn't, go get your free gift. I will let you know that if you filled one out, we will be contacting you, but we will not be coming after you, if you understand what I mean by the difference there, okay? Thank you for being here. That'll be a good thing, all right? Brother Jack Young, sir, if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice, sir, please.